trying to keep up with Pastor Jack. And he deserves this vacation. And so we need to be praying for him and his family and be praying that the Lord just bless them and refresh them and bring them back to us with even more energy if that's possible. But this morning we have a guest speaker in lieu of Pastor Jack. He's the senior pastor of Calvary Chapel Christian Fellowship in West Covina. He's a friend of this church. I see him around here a lot. When I first came on staff, I'm like, who's that guy? He's always here hanging around. We just love him. Pastor Jim Sheets is going to be teaching us this morning. So come on up, Jim.
Well, good morning. I am overwhelmingly blessed to be invited by Pastor Jack to come and to share with you this morning. Turn with me, if you will, please, to the book of Jonah. We'll be in chapter 1. Listen, a lot of you know myself and my wife, and a lot of you have been asking in between services about my wife, and she is a total blessing, and she always amazes me. She, ever since September 11th, she's told me, I want to go to New York. I want to go to Ground Zero. And I says, well, I'd love to go to New York, too, and go and pray and to get involved. And she goes, no, but I really want to go. No, I really want to go, too. And she said, well, all right, we'll pray. And then she started being pretty positive and just kind of letting me know, you know what, I don't know how, I don't know when, but I just feel I'm going to go to New York. And it was like, okay, dear. And then she started telling other people, like, you know, I don't know when and I don't know how I'm going to go to New York. And I find myself like patting her on the head going, that's okay, dear. That's nice, dear. I mean, have your desires and have your dreams. Well, Jeanette just got back from New York Saturday night, and the Lord provided, and she went over to New York and saw some family and went to Ground Zero. And the sad thing is, it was like, you know, she's telling me in the beginning, I want to go. I have me too. And then she's going, well, I'm going to go. Well, that's nice, dear. So God didn't let me go. I didn't have the faith to go, so I didn't get to go, just Jeanette. And I find that amazing that when you really open your hearts to the Lord and desire for God to do work in your life, and you go beyond your understanding of things and allow God's faith to begin to take a hold and to open doors and to close doors and to direct. And when you have no limitations on God, it's an awesome thing to see what He can do. And as you can tell by my family, I'm the limited one, and she's the one that gets to go and do many things because she said, I think He can do it. And I always say, well, He has to prove it to me. And so she just got back from New York, and I am amazed that I found myself in the middle of the week at my home by myself, realizing, wow, so God sent her to New York. I can't believe it. Anyways. Has nothing to do with our study. I just thought I'd share that with you. Jonah chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the very presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. And so he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. And then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God, and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest part of the ship, and lain down, and was fast asleep. And so the captain came to him, and he said to him, what do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish. And they said to one another, come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us. And so they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. And they said to him, please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? And what is your occupation? And where do you come from? And what is your country? And what are your people? And he said to them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. And then the men were exceedingly afraid, and they said to him, why have you done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. And then they said to him, "What shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us?" For the sea was growing more tempestuous. And he said to them, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea, and then the sea will become calm for you, for I know that this great tempest is because of me." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to land, but they could not, for the sea continued to grow more tempestuous against them. Therefore, they cried out to the Lord, and they said, "We pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done it as it pleased you." So they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. And then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord, and they took vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. In the last verse of chapter 2 says, "The Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land." Father, as we do come before you this morning, we do ask, Father, for open hearts and willing lives to hear your voice, Father, as your Spirit moves amongst us, Father. Make your word alive. Make it real within each and every one of our lives, Father. Lord, we just pray that you will be glorified in all that we say and do. In Jesus' name, amen. Many people do not believe the story of Jonah. Many people believe it is simply a story or a parable. A fairy tale would be our terminologies today. Those of you who believe in Snow White, I hate to break it to you, she's not real. Okay, it was just a story. It was just a parable. It deals with good and evil. And a lot of people said that the story of Jonah was just a parable. It was just a fairy tale. But listen, fairy tales are not told of real men. And Jonah was a real prophet of the Lord. He lived during the time of Jeroboam II's reign over the northern kingdom of Israel. And we can read about him briefly, though, but we do read about him in 2 Kings chapter 14, verse 25. It says, "So God restored the territory of Israel from the entrance of Hamath to the Sea of Arba, according to the word of the Lord God of Israel, which he had spoken through his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet who was from Gath Hefer." So see, he was real. There really was a prophet of God, and his name was Jonah, and God did speak to and through him. But also, besides that, we also have the very testimony of Jesus Christ himself. We read in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12, beginning in verse 38, it says, "Then some of the scribes and the Pharisees answered, saying, 'Teacher, we want to see a sign from you.' And he answered, and he said to them, 'An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the hearts of the earth." So Jesus did not simply and only testify of the fact that Jonah was in fact a prophet of God. He also confirmed the truth and the fact that he actually was in the belly of a fish for 3 days and for three nights. He says, "In fact, I'm going to be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights." But he testifies to the fact that Jonah was indeed a prophet of the Lord, and he actually was in the belly of a great fish for 3 days and for three nights, and then lived to tell about it, and then lived to go on and to do with the very things that God had called him to do. So it is a true story. But listen, besides 2 Kings and besides the testimony of Jesus, you do need to understand that our God is much bigger than any of us. And the question will always boil down to, well, then how big is your God? Personally, my God is definitely capable and big enough to pull this off. Jesus tells his disciples in Luke 18:27, he says, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God." God told Abraham and Sarah, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" And the answer is no. He's God. And so you see, it's real important that as we go through the story of Jonah or anything in your lives, that you grab a hold of the reality and the truth of who your God is and what He is capable of. He is not bound by any understandings or figuring things out scientifically or anything else. He is not bound by anything of that men tend to be bound by. Our nature of things is to, as I share with you about my wife, you know, we can't afford New York and I can't take the time off and this and that. And I had all of my tons of excuses. And in my world and in my realm and in my understandings, that's nice, dear. Dream, pray, seek all you want, but we ain't going. That's my limitations. So I stayed home and she went. You can't limit and you can't allow yourself to be in situations or go through circumstances and look at everything and just go, you know what? You know what? There's just no way out. There's just no way of accomplishing this. There's just no way of getting over there. There's just no way that this can happen. It's just impossible. Then you're not open to the truth of who your God is. There is absolutely nothing too hard for your God. And until you grab a hold of that, you will actually limit yourself and you'll stay home like I do all the time. Okay, because you don't have that faith in going out. So it's a true story and it really happens. And not because there are testimonies and scientifically and events, because God said and because God can do. And if He wanted to create a whole new fish to swallow Jonah, then that's fine. If He wanted to use a whale who they say his throat's too small to swallow, it's no problem with God. He's God. So you got to get a hold of that as we begin this, that there are absolutely no limitations to God. Verse 1 of chapter 1. Now, we're not going to go through the whole chapter. I just wanted to read it. For those of you who are not familiar with the story of Jonah, I just wanted to go through it. God said this. He said no. He ran. He got swallowed. He got spit up. So he's alive. He doesn't die. But we're only going to go through the first five verses this morning. Verse 1 again, it says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, and said, Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." God Himself spoke to Jonah and told him what He, God, wanted Jonah to do. Now I find that amazing, that God Himself, He would not send somebody. God Himself spoke to Jonah and said, "Jonah, here's what I want." Now, I don't know about you, but that just fascinates me that God, the creator of the universe, would actually speak to me. I know who I am and what I am. And the mere fact that God would even want to talk to me, let alone talk to me, amazes me. He doesn't send, He speaks to us. I know some people who are involved in being an extra in making movies or in television shows. And they're told by the assistant directors that they are not permitted to talk to the stars. Okay, if you see a star on the set, you cannot go up and talk to them. You're not permitted to. You're not allowed to bother them. Okay, and if you do, I know of situations where people did talk to the stars and they were let go from the show. You know, you got to go right here and right now. You're not supposed to be talking to them. Now, they also tell you if the star talks to you, then you can talk to them. But when they say you're done, you're done. You can't then follow. No, we're buds now. He just says, "Listen, here's your deal. You are an extra. They are the star. You do not talk to them." And there are some of the stars that I understand that they do come and they do talk to the extras and they hang out with them. And in fact, I understand Martin Sheen from the West Wing. He's always in trouble with the directors because they're always looking for him to shoot the scene. And he's out hanging out with the extras and talking to them and everything. And they're always saying, "Get over here." And so he has no problem. But I do understand and I've heard that there are others that they would have absolutely nothing to do with the extras. And so if a star were to come up to you and talk to you, you just find you like your little toes tingling like, "Woo, Martin Sheen's talking to me." And you're all excited. Why? Because he's a star. And then there's the others and you walk by and you say, "I'm too stuck up." Listen, the God who created those stars and the God who created the stars in the heavens, He desires to talk to you and I. He wants to talk to us. He desires to talk to us. I love what Jesus tells his disciples in the Gospel of John chapter 16. He begins in verse 12. Jesus says, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, and He will speak on His own authority. But whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you the things to come." I love that idea as far as Jesus sitting with His disciples. He says, "There is so much that I want to tell you. I just want to sit and chat and chat and chat and chat and just talk and talk and talk and talk. But you're not going to be able to grab a hold of all right now, and so it'll come at a later point. But not to leave you unaddressed, know this, I'm going to be sending the Spirit, and He also has the exact same desire to talk to you. And He, in fact, Him and I are one. And He'll tell you things from me, and He'll tell you things from the Father. And this is God talking to us. But I love the idea that Jesus says, there are so many things that I want to tell you. I so want to sit and have coffee with you. I so want to sit and just have time together. If you go through the Gospels, isn't Jesus always seemingly sitting around and eating and talking to people? He loves the fellowship. And He's God. And I love the fact that we read in our text that it says that God Himself, the Word of the Lord, came to Jonah and spoke to Jonah. Listen, knowing this, let me ask you a question. When you seek the Lord, do you seek Him with the intent of Him speaking to you? Do you actually pray and expect and wait and believe that I'm going to actually be spoken to by God? Ecclesiastes 5:1 says, "Walk prudently when you go to the house of the Lord and draw near to hear, rather than to give the sacrifice of fools." See, I believe too often we know the importance and the necessity of prayer, and so we would not think of not praying in the morning before we go, and we may sacrifice our time in that I would have rather slept for an extra 5 minutes than to get up an extra early 5 minutes and then do the praying thing. But nonetheless, I am a godly person and I do love the Lord, and therefore I will take the time to pray. And so we get up in the morning and we do our necessities and showers and shavings and what have yous, and before we leave, we take the time to pray. And Lord, I ask for Your anointing upon this day and for Your leading and Your guiding, Lord, and I ask that You'll protect me on the way and be with the family while I'm gone and be with the kids. And we just ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Goodbye. And we're gone. And I'm not, you know, if you're not doing that, you need to start praying. But listen, do you actually throw that prayer up and expect that God's going to answer you? Do you actually throw that prayer up and believe that God's going to actually share with you anything? Or are we just sacrificing on time? And I know God's proud of me because I got to bed late last night and I could have used that extra 5 minutes. But for You, Lord, I gave up my five. And yet we don't hear. Ecclesiastes again. Listen, be prudent. When you come before the Lord, draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifice. Come before Him to hear. Listen, know and embrace and accept the fact everyone in this room, God desires to talk to you. He really does. And He does not consider Himself high and lofty, though He is. He's as high as high can be. He is the King of kings. He is the Creator of all things. And yet He wants and desires to talk to you. So when you do find yourself praying and seeking the Lord, do it with the intent of Him speaking to you. And then listen. Okay, because here we have the fact in our story that the Word of the Lord came to Jonah and spoke to him. The next step is that you got to hear God. Jonah was told by the Lord to go to Nineveh and cry out against it because of their wickedness. So he knew what God had said. It's God's voice, God talking. He tells me to go to Nineveh and preach against them because of their wickedness. Nineveh was the capital of the mighty Assyrian Empire, and they were an extremely wicked and cruel people. They were always a trouble to Israel, but they were extremely wicked and cruel. So if you understand that God talks to you, know that He does, and He desires to, your position is to listen Take the time to actually hear, seek the Lord with the understanding and intent that He's going to speak to you. But then there's a real, real, real important third step. Obey Him. Obey what God says. Jonah does not. We read in verse 3 that he fled. The word of the Lord came to Jonah and said, "Go cry out against it, the city of Nineveh, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah arose to flee. He chose to get away from the pathway of obedience. And know this, to get away from the pathway of obedience is invariably to go out away from the presence of the Lord. And Jonah knew that. It says that he fled from the presence of the Lord. To depart from the Lord, to depart from the presence of the Lord, is to depart from His purpose and His will for your life. No matter how big you may think His will is, or no matter how small you may think His will is, to go away and to flee from the direction of the Lord is to walk away from His purpose and His will. See, sometimes we can think if God gives me a big thing to do, well then, yeah, I should obey that. But we're not tending to always be concerned about the little things, whatever it is we may consider little. But no matter what it is, whatever God has spoken to you, whatever He's shared with your heart, whatever He has shared with your life, if you're not walking that direction, if you're not heading towards Nineveh, the very will of God, then you are heading towards Tarshish, which is your own will. And every one of us are here this morning in this situation. You are either heading towards Nineveh or you are heading towards Tarshish for whatever reason. Now, most people believe that Jonah ran from this call of God and this purpose of God because of his hatred for the people of Nineveh. Jonah was reluctant to offer them mercy. He desired their destruction. He wanted them dead. He had no compassion. He had no desire. As this word came to God and told him what to do, he did not want them to be shown any type of mercy. He ran because he knew God's nature. And I find that another fascinating thing. This is not an individual who was unfamiliar with God and the very nature of God. He so knew the nature of God, he was fearful that God would show mercy on the Ninevites. And in his opinion, they deserved to die. They deserved to be consumed. That Sodom and Gomorrah thing would be a real good thing for the Ninevites. And I know that if I go to Nineveh following the word of God, and God was to stand there, and if I was to stand up there and say, listen, either turn or burn, and if they turned, God would show them mercy. And they don't deserve mercy. These are wicked, cruel people. They deserve destruction. And he was afraid that if there was some fool who started this repentance process, that God would not destroy them. So he knows the nature of God as being merciful, but his personal feelings, his personal opinions, his personal hatred towards the Ninevites was leading him to a very, very horrible situation. Listen, whatever leads you to hatred, it'll blind your mind. It'll blind your mind to the realities of what are taking place. It'll blind your mind to understanding and accepting the truths of what are taking place. It'll blind you, your mind, and even your very eyes completely, because you are so caught up in they deserve this. Whatever leads you to that type of hatred also sours your temperament, meaning you're just a sour person. Nobody likes to even be around you. How's so-and-so doing? Oh, I don't know, and I don't want to ask. Ever since this took place, or ever since that, or ever since these circumstances, they're just not fun to be around. Or if you do go to their house, just don't bring that up, okay? You can talk about anything you want, just don't bring that up. Because they're real sensitive about that. And their attitudes and their temperament becomes very sour. And listen, if you find yourself in that situation, you know that you're not who you should be. You know that your very temperament has been affected by whatever has stirred you to this displeasure or this anger or this hatred. But worse than even that, it degrades you to the point of willful disobedience. This godly man, Jonah, who knows the nature of God, who knows the grace of God, who knows the mercies of God, was allowing himself step by step to disobey his God. Jonah chose to rose and to flee. He chose to go to Joppa. He chose to look for the ship. He chose to reach into his pocket and pull out the money and pay for the fare. He chose to board the boat and to go down into the bottom part of the boat. It was willful disobedience. There was nobody behind him. There was no forces nor anything. He chose to willfully disobey God, and he fled. Now listen, I don't believe that Jonah expected to go where God wasn't. I believe, as godly as he was, as a servant of the Lord, in the very nature of God, I believe that Jonah knew that no matter where I go, that God's going to be there. I don't feel that he thought, well, if I can just get to Tarshish, I know Tarshish isn't in God's Thomas guidebook. He'll never find me. There's just no way. God's not been going, A4, I don't find it. Do you, Jesus? It's not on mine. He wasn't fooling himself that if I just get to Tarshish, then God will go, where'd he go? He knew, I believe, that God knew where he was going. And when God would be all places. But I believe that he figured that I just need to go where God will leave me alone. He'll just leave me alone. He'll know where I am because God knows all things. But he'll leave me alone. Perhaps he was thinking, I got to get far enough. I got to put some distance between me and Nineveh. To where if God were to call on me, he'd go, where? All the way over. I don't have time to get him back all the way over. I've got to use somebody else. I just don't have the time to get him on this boat and back over to there. There's a jam up at the harbor anyways. And so I just don't have time. I'm going to have to use somebody else. Or perhaps he was figuring that God would say, you know what? If he doesn't want to forget him, I ain't going to use him. If he doesn't want to do it, I want a willful servant. I want somebody to willfully do what I've asked them to do. I don't want to chase this guy all around and make him do something. Or, nah, you know what? Forget it. I'll just use somebody else. I believe that he was just in his heart and in his mind figuring, I just need to get enough distance. I need to get myself away that God will just leave me alone. And you know what? There are so many people that are in that state of mind. I know that God is everywhere. I just want him to leave me alone. I've had a chance to be walking with the Lord for a number of years and watch kids accept the Lord and watch them grow up and watch them have kids. I've dedicated babies of babies that I've dedicated. Okay. And so, you know, I've had a chance to see, and some of the most heartbreaking things is I have seen some young people who have been brought up in the church with a very godly influence. And for whatever reason, these young people have decided that they do not want to follow the Lord. And so they run. Now, they've got enough godly influence that they know that they can't get away from God. They don't have the concept that if I go to this party, God don't go to parties, so I'm good there. And they know enough about God that if I dress like this, then God goes, I don't hang out with people that dress like that. And so they're not trying to necessarily get away where he's not going to be. They just want to be left alone. Perhaps if I'm bad enough, he'll get mad enough and he'll leave me alone. Perhaps if I'm harsh enough and rude enough, he'll just say, you know what, I don't need this, and he'll leave me alone. But there tends to be this idea that we can do things or get enough distance or do enough foolish things, and God will just get tired of us and quit chasing after us, and he'll leave us alone. People are hurt by other people, and they just hurt by other people in the church. And rather than running to God, they actually run from God. Like it's God that hurt them or something. And again, I don't believe that they're running with the intent of he can't find me, but I believe that they're running from God in hopes that he'll just leave them alone. Just leave me alone. That way I don't have to face the hurt. I don't have to face the anger. I don't have to face anything. Just leave me alone. I even believe that there are specific people in this room who God has specifically called. And I could probably give you an opportunity, though I won't, to just say, stand up and give us and let me know, let us know your calling, God's calling on your life. I believe you might not stand up because you're in a running process, but I believe that there are many people who know. I'm supposed to be this, or I'm supposed to do that. I'm supposed to be over here. I'm supposed to be over there. And I believe that there are individuals who have callings on their lives, and they're running from it. Whether they were hurt by something or somebody, or I don't always know. I think a lot of times people run from the very calling of God upon their lives because they don't think financially that the ministry or God will provide quite well enough for them. And so they figure, I understand all of this, but I know I have a call, but I got bills to pay. And they know, and you can turn them to a scripture and quote the Lord says, listen, don't worry about what to eat or what to drink or what to wear. I'll take care of all. You just seek me and I'll take care of everything else. Well, yeah, it sounds good, but I live in reality, okay? And I look at those little kids with the little sunken eyes because I haven't worked and haven't fed them in the last 6 weeks, and so they're about ready to leave me. I live with that. And we do, at least me, maybe it's just me and I'm the oddball here. I talk to myself in that extreme. Okay, my kids have never gone a day without food. Okay, but if I'm rationalizing this, I will look at it in my mind, it could be 6 weeks before they could eat. And Lord, I just don't know. And I wrestle foolishly like that. But we find ourselves, Jonah ran because he didn't feel these people deserved God's mercy. That he knew that if God had the chance, God would shower his mercies upon them. He didn't think they deserved the mercies of God, so I'm not going. Now, I don't know why or what we're running from at times within our lives, but we have our reasons. And we can find ourselves running with the idea, I just want to be left alone. Just let me do my thing and let me get on my feet and let me get organized and let me get squared away and let me get all things together. And once I've got it all figured together, I want you then involved, but just get off my case and get off my back until I get it all figured out. Our Tarsus can be our jobs. It can be our social lives. It can be our entertainment, our amusement, just something to get going to, something to do, some kind of an activity to drown out what I know to be the very purpose and the call and the words of God. Any place where we feel that God will just give up on us and let us alone. And the interesting thing is there is definitely, we realize within our lives that there is a definite need to run once we've made the choice that I don't agree with God's word. I don't want what he has said. I want to do something different. Once we've decided that, then there definitely is a need to run. Because if we stay, then things around us will remind us of God's will. I believe that Jonah left and felt that he had to leave and run because if he stayed, everything there where he lived would have reminded him of the Lord and of the Lord's purpose in his life. He could have been walking down the street and bumped into one of his friends and go, hey, I like that shirt. Where'd you get this shirt? Oh, hey, there's this store in Nineveh. They're running a really cool sale. I bought it in Nineveh. Ooh, Nineveh. All right. Or you go to a friend's house for dinner. That's pretty safe. And the friend says, are you all done with your meal? Yeah, I'm all finished. You want dessert? It's a really cool dessert. New dessert. You're going to love it. And they lay it in front of you and you eat it. And it's like the best dessert you've ever had. Where'd you get this? It's a new bakery in Nineveh. It's really a cool bakery. Nineveh. All right. Your friend comes up to you and says, we're leaving tomorrow morning for vacation. Where are you guys going? You guessed it. Nineveh. And this is exactly why we feel the need to run, to seek a new country, to try a fresh experience. I gotta get away from this because I need to drown out this very voice that I'm hearing, who we've already established is the voice of God talking, and I'm trying to drown out that voice. We have to change our environment so that we can't see nor hear what we know to be the very will of God. And there's not the misconception of, you know, well, he's not here. No, I just need to get preoccupied or turned around or other interests. And we flee the very presence of God because we don't want to hear. We don't want to deal with those convictions. We don't want to deal with those remembering of things. So Jonah has fled. He's on his way to Tarshish. Now, I find it interesting because we also read in our text that Jonah paid the fare. He paid the price to run from the Lord. And as we will learn, it cost him dearly. We'll find out that his trip to Tarshish will prove far more costly than he had ever expected. He knew it was going to cost him. He took the money out of his pockets. And when he went up to the boat, he didn't think that the captain of the boat would go, you know, I like you. Come on, boy, you don't have to pay. He knew that if I go and there's a space, I'm going to have to pay to make this decision. I'm going to have to pay to get distance between me and God. I'm going to have to pay to have a different direction than God wants me to have. And that's okay. I'm willing to pay. But again, he had no idea of the cost that it was actually going to have upon him. Disobedience, which is nothing other than sin, it has an awful price to it. It really does. Broken homes, ruined lives, deep debts. And sometimes people will start this process and know there's a cost involved. I understand that. And I mean, it's not like I'm made with money here, but I understand that there is a cost that must be paid. I'm willing to pay that cost. I don't think it's what God wants, but that's okay. I'm willing to pay this cost. And we reach into our pockets and we bring out what we think the cost is and we lay it down and figure, all right, that isn't that bad. I seem to have survived it. It costs. If you're running from the Lord and running from His will from your life, know this. It will cost you more than you've ever expected. Those people who are considering leaving their husbands or their wives, and you may figure, okay, all right, it's going to shake the kids, all right, it's going to rock their world. But they're strong little kids, and I think they'll be okay. All right, my witness, a little blown now, okay? But you know what? It's real. I can just share with them, hey, Christians are real, okay? I mean, we're not always perfect. We make mistakes. I think I can pull back that blown witness. We tend to weigh out the costs without having any idea of what the costs truly are. It will cost you, but I believe it'll cost more than you could ever expect. I don't think that Jonah intended on scaring the crew. I don't think that Jonah intended on winds and storms coming. He just figured, I'm just getting a distance. I'm broke now. I've maxed out my credit card, but that's okay. I was willing to pay that price. Listen, your disobedience, no matter how great or small you may think that it is, it will generally cost you more than you have ever expected. Now, the Lord Himself has permitted Jonah to carry out his plan of fleeing from the presence of the Lord. He has quietly, have you noticed this? He has quietly left Jonah alone to succeed so far. He has allowed Jonah to think that his plans are now safely on their way. The Lord has not interfered in any way of stopping of the succession of the steps of Jonah. He allowed him to say, well, I'm going to leave. God didn't stop him at this. You can't go to Joppa. No, you're not going. He let him go to Joppa. And he says, well, you know what? I'm going to have all, you're not going to find a boat. All the boats are going to be gone. No boats in the harbor. No, he found a boat. And when Jonah reached in his pocket for his credit card, God did not provide a hole in his pocket from his destination to Joppa. And he's like, oh my gosh, I lost my credit card. I can't go. No, credit card was there. And when he went up to the captain and says, what's the price? And I have that on my credit card. Is there room? There was. God is not at this stage of the game stopped anything. But I believe that there has been a voice of God telling Jonah, what are you doing? Where are you going? Why are you rebelling? Why are you disobeying? But it was just that small, still voice. that was speaking to Jonah. Jonah was capable of, I'm dizzy, I'm running, I'm busy, I've got this to do, I've got that to do, I don't hear you, I don't hear you. And he just ran and got everything exceeded and done. But the Lord came after Jonah, as you are aware. We read in verse 4, but the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. And then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest part of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. This was not a wind that was brought by a normal weather condition. If you ever watch the news channel, there wasn't Dallas rain on there going, listen, we got the highs here and the lows here. When they met here, a storm came. This was a wind that God brought. Proverbs 30, verse 4, it says that God has gathered the wind in His fists. Even the experienced sailors knew this isn't the highs and the lows and the winds and the hots and the colds meeting. This is serious. These are experienced sailors. And they didn't go, I didn't see, were the clouds dark? No, they just all quickly admitted the fact that this is real. This is serious. You know what? This is God. We need to pray to our gods. This storm that has hit us is not a natural thing. This is an intervention of God. This is God sent. This is God's hand. Now, they did not know nor worship the God of Israel, so they were crying out to their gods. But they met the God of Israel. And we read there in verse 16 of chapter 1, after they threw Jonah overboard and the seas calmed down, they said, you know what? I say we sacrifice to his God, because his God is the powerful God. So they now know the God of Jonah. The Lord was going after his servant. Isn't that an awesome thing to realize? That God comes after you. He's not stubborn. He's not sitting on the throne. Well, when Jonah's ready to talk, he knows where I am. He can come and call upon me. I spoke to him there at his hometown and he chose to flee. And I didn't go after him. I want him to just know that he's wrong. But then as God watched Jonah go to Joppa, find the boat, pay the fare, get on and sail, he goes, you know what? He ain't going to listen. He's not going to come. I'm going to go after him. We don't have a stubborn God. We have a loving and a gracious God. And he's not angry. I love the fact. Now, see, it seems like everybody's going, well, he sounds pretty angry to me. A wind strong enough to break apart a boat. And nobody died. He got everybody's attention, though, didn't he? Everybody's calling on God. Everybody's looking up. Prior to this, especially Jonah had his head buried. I don't want to hear from God. I don't want to know God. I don't want to see God. I don't want to hear Nineveh. I don't want to know nothing about God. I got to get out of here. I got to get to Tarshish and then I'll pray. But only once I'm in Tarshish. Well, everybody's calling on God now. God tells the children of Israel in Jeremiah 31:3, God says, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. God says, I am the one that's come after you, Israel. Not with anger. I didn't come at you guys. I am so sick of you guys and that's it. He says, no. With everlasting love, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. Very familiar scripture that probably most of us are familiar with. Jesus himself speaking in Matthew 18. He says, for the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. What do you think? He says, if a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying? And if he should find it, assuredly I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. God wasn't going after Jonah to destroy him. God was going after Jonah to bring him back, to save him. God was going after his servant to bring him to obedience. If God wanted to destroy Jonah, he could have destroyed him. That was never God's intent. God was just going after him because he loves him. Now, see, I believe that Jonah probably thought that he was going to die. When they asked him, what do we do? How can you help us save this situation? The boat is getting worse. The storm's heavier and stronger. And the boat's falling apart. What do we do? Jonah says, throw me overboard. And I believe that Jonah within his own heart, as he's flying through the air, is figuring, well, I'm going to drown. But that's okay. I would rather die than to go to Nineveh and preach to them repentance. He was that heart of hearts. But then once he hits the water, he didn't drown. And then all of a sudden he turns around and he sees this big fish coming at him with his mouth open. He's going, oh my gosh, oh, okay. I know. I've been bad. I've disobeyed God and fled from God. Drowning's too good for a man like me. I'm going to be chewed by a fish. And it'll be hurt and painful. And I understand. And Lord, I accept my death. I will be chewed by the fish. But you know what? The fish didn't chew. Swallowed him. And then he's down in the belly of the fish and he's probably thinking, okay, I've been real bad. Okay? And drowning was scary and bad, but not bad enough. Chewing, I wasn't looking forward to being chewed, but that wasn't even bad enough. Now I'm going to be in this fish's belly and this, I'm going to just dissolve slowly to death because I've been real bad. None of that happened. God had no intentions of destroying Jonah. God holds our breath in His hand. He was not going after Jonah in anger. He was not going after Jonah to discipline Jonah. He was not going after Jonah to destroy Jonah. He was going after Jonah that he might obey. You know what I find the most fascinating thing about Jonah, the whole story of Jonah, not the fact that a big fish and he lived in it for 3 days. What fascinates me, it took 3 days in the belly of that fish for Jonah to pray. What a stubborn man. Seriously, can you imagine that? Day one, this stinks. This just, my skin is horrible. Oh, well, I'm going to die now. Oh, it's tomorrow morning. I'm not dead. Well, this still, now you got seaweed around your head, it says. And it's just like, well, you know what? I'm going to die. Still doesn't die. Day three, still alive. What is it? You know, I can just see Jesus elbowing the Father. This guy's stubborn. 3 days. How long are you going to wait until he prays? How long can you keep him alive in that fish's belly? As long as it takes. I'm not bound by anything. God is God. I find it amazing. 3 days. Isn't it true, though, about us that we wait for such a long time? And there's the answer. Well, I'm not going to do it. Why? Because I don't want to. I don't agree. I don't think it's right. Whatever our reasons may be. It took Jonah 3 days before it says, and I cried out to the Lord. Yeah. He realized, you know what? I'm not going to die. He didn't bring me out here to kill me. He brought me out here to speak to me. I didn't drown. The fish didn't chew. It's been 3 days. I'm still not dissolved. You know what? I think God wants to talk to me. So I cried out to the Lord, I guess. Listen, here's the thing that I want to close with. If God is running after you because you're running from the very presence of the Lord in your life this morning, for whatever reason, if you're not saved and you just figure, I don't need this salvation stuff, God's not going to leave you alone. There isn't a party you can go to that God won't talk to you at. There isn't a style that you can dress up that will appall God. If you're running because there is a call on your life and you just don't think that that's what you want and so you're running from it, He's not going to give up. God lovingly, with all of His love, with all of His passion, He's going to pursue you. If He has to bring a wind because you're not listening, that's fine. Listen, Jonah didn't have to go through this. From the time that he left his city, at any point, he could have stopped and said, you know what? This is just wrong. I'm going to go back to Nineveh. I'm going to go and do what God said. On his way to Joppa on the road, he could have just stopped and said, no, God, I'm sorry. I'm going to go to Nineveh. Once he got to Joppa, as he's heading towards the harbor, you know what? This is wrong. I'm not going to look for the boats. As he spoke to the captain, as he reached in his pocket for the money, as he began to board, at any point, Jonah could have said, this is just wrong. I'm not following you. I'm not listening to you. I'm not following your word. And I don't want to go through mighty winds, and I don't want to go through throwing into the water, and I don't want to be swallowed by a fish, and I don't want to suffer in secretions for 3 days. I want to listen. So you see, there is not a necessity for you to go through all of this. Obedience is very important. Very important. Jesus himself, when he came here, says, I did not come to do my will, but the will of the Father. I do not say the things that I want to say. I say the things that God wants me to say. Obedience is extremely important, no matter how big nor small or small you may feel that it is. God desires obedience in our lives. And I believe that God is talking to each and every one of us on a day-to-day basis. He desires to speak to you. So listen, if you're running from the very presence of the Lord today, know this. He's coming after you with the intent of bringing you back. He's not coming after you to destroy you, but I do believe that he will do what is ever necessary to get you to look up. Isn't that an awesome thing? That your God doesn't sit on the throne and say, I am God. I have spoken to you. From heaven I have spoken to you. And I expect obedience, and I'm going to sit here with my arms folded until you obey. He says, no, if you're too stubborn to come, I'm not too stubborn. I'll go after you. I will pursue you. I will seek you out. And if necessary, I will rock your world. I will bring the mighty wind. I will begin things to break up. The boat will begin to fall apart. You'll see people around you cry out to God. I'll have everybody's attention on me. Not because I want to destroy, but because I want to bring you back. I want to put you where you know and I know that you belong. I want to put you on the track that I've set you in going towards. I want your obedience. I want your relationship. I want to talk to you. And I want to work within your lives. So if you're here this morning, I don't care what state, if you just heard the voice of God today, or if you're on your way to Joppa, or if you're reaching in your pockets, or if you're in the belly of a fish, it is never too late to just say, all right. Jonah says, I cried out to the Lord because of my afflictions. You don't even have to wait for the afflictions. God will pursue you because of his love, and in and with his love, he will pursue after you. Our position is to say, yes, Lord. Father, we do come before you this morning and thank you for the opportunity of opening your word. So many things, Father, that you shared in and through Jonah. Father, time does not permit us to begin to go through and to see all of these things, but just the excitement, Father, of realizing that you as our God and our Creator, you desire to talk to us. Oh, Father, that is an awesome thing. Father, you desire to have coffee with us and fellowship with us. And I pray, Father, from today forth, as each of us, Lord, opens our hearts and spends time with you, that we will not just speak, but we will listen. We will pray and seek you with the intent of hearing. And as we hear, we will obey. And Father, if there's anybody here who is running from your will and running from your purposes, that they will stop now, Father, and turn to you and embrace, allow you to embrace them, not in anger, but in gracious love. Open our hearts to your purposes and to your ways. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
Let's stand as we close in a song.